Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
Hi, I'm Tia. The upstairs-downstairs neighbor dynamic is so special. We have our own language. Like when I scream at my mom on the phone, the people downstairs bang on the ceiling to show their support.
The nighttime's the best time to rearrange furniture.
I call it midnight feng shui.
And if I sleep through my alarm in the morning, they bang on my door to wake me. So thoughtful.
Progressive can't save you from your upstairs neighbor, but we can save you money when you bundle renters and auto insurance with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Delhi Decoded. I'm Pritika Khanna, your host, and I'm here with your weekly update from the national capital. In this podcast, each episode, we pick a pin code from Delhi and dive into the most famous buildings, landmarks, and stories from that pin code. For those of you who are from Delhi, I'm sure you have some very special memories from these places. For those of you who aren't, don't worry, I'll help you get a peek into the pulse of Delhi. I think it's fair to say that the year 2020 has been unusual. And in such a year, it isn't surprising that the markets have also performed unusually. While we saw markets reach new lows in March, the year is ending with the market also reaching new, unexpected highs. This year also had an adverse impact on the economy, raised questions on people's job security, while also raising the importance of health insurance. The extended lockdown has made the need for contingency funds even more clear. When all of us were locked inside our homes, there was a fear of job security and what it means for people's savings. In such a situation, how should one plan for the future? To help me answer some of these questions, I have with me Prashant Maurya, who is a Delhi-based financial planner and partner at Citrine Financial Advisors in Delhi's 110066.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us on Delhi Decoded today. This year, I think, has been one of those years where everyone suddenly, you know, has gone back. You know, there have been lots of uncertainties, lots of ups and downs. And I think it's brought out a need for all of us to sort of, you know, invest properly, invest in a way that, you know, you can secure your future, because suddenly, you know, that reached a point where all of us were locked inside our homes. You know, as a financial planner, what are the changes that you have seen this year from your investors?
So we need to understand that the investment is primarily a component of a two factor. One is the orientation and second is the execution. So we need to broadly understand these two factors. So orientation and a thought process, we have to divide investors into two parts. One is a seasoned investors who are broadly in an age group of 35 year and a more. Okay, so we call them seasoned investors or matured investors because they have dedicated savings, their investments to achieve certain goals, which may be buying a new house or a new house, their child education, child marriage, retirement, and so forth. Whereas there is another set of investors who have just started in the age group of 20 to 35. Primarily, we can call them as a Gen X or a youngster as an investor. These kinds of investors are primarily oriented towards the investments more rather than the saving. So, for example, like buying new electronic gadgets or a travel more. So, and simultaneously, we have also observed that they are also having a loan EMI, not only for the home, for the mortgages, but for other goods or maybe electronic goods. So two types of investors have some different thought process and different orientation. So that is an important factor. So in this COVID period, the orientation of this Gen X also changed on a sense of the seasoned investor. So this is a very, very what we need to consider for the whole investment. So just for example, as I initially told you, that and invest, everything well planned. Okay. But youngsters or Gen X normally spends more, sometimes spend more than what they earn. Let's keep aside what they say. But in this COVID period or era, everybody now understands that they have to save because of the salary cut and maybe the job losses. So they have to survive for some times on their saving. So the thought process of both types of investor has completely changed in this period. And normally, if you look at our track record, India as a country in last 50, 75 years, so we are basically a saving nation. If you look at our parents, grandparents also, everybody saves whatever they earn, they try to save more and more. But in last 15, 20 years, and primarily last 15 years, we have started spending more. Okay. Thanks to the EMI options or a very easy availability of loans, whether it's a personal loans or a home loans. So our tendency or our style of more saving has gradually shifted from saving to the spending. And because this has been done in last 15, 20 years, so this is the reason why majority of people nowadays were saving less. So this COVID period has again give us a glimpse that why we need to save, and once we save, we have to invest for these uncertain times. So this is a major change which has happened in last 8-9 months, and now everybody, be a seasoned investor, old age, or a person in their middle age, or even a youngster, everybody now talks about the savings and then investment. Mm-hmm. So this is the most important change which we are seeing right now.
Of course, that completely makes sense also, because everybody now wants to have something kept aside in case of, you know, these situations are very uncertain. So I think everyone wants to have something in the bank for sure. You mentioned how, you know, the major change has happened. But if you had to sort of give advice to someone who was stepping out right now, what, according to you, do investors need to keep in mind, at least on like top three or top five things that they should keep in mind in such a situation when it comes to investing?
Yes. So initially saving and then investing. So there are four or five different parameters which all individual and investors have to look at. First is they must do the risk assessment or a risk profile on their own, or they may take a help of any financial planner, advisor, maybe a mutual fund distributor, so with whom they are comfortable. So first they have to find out what is their risk profile, that is most important before making any investment. Because if you look at an investment, it starts from having money in your bank deposit, in a fixed deposit, to investing into equity stocks in a direct market. So putting money into your bank deposit is the most safest or a very low volatile or a risky investment, versus investing into direct stocks or equity market is the most volatile. So I'm not saying that there is a risk it's a volatile. So first we need to understand what kind of a risk profile we are in, so that we can take a calculated call or a investment orientation on that parameter. So that is a most important, because as I initially said, investment options are ranging a lot, like bank deposits, then you have a PPF, then you have a Government of India bonds, then you have schemes for a retired people of LIC, pension plans, then you have a mutual fund, which is a variety from a debt to equities, then you have a insurance plan, which are a combination of investments, savings, or a pure risk coverage, then to direct stock, real estate, commodity, primarily gold and gold investment, then real you have an n number of options to invest. Mm-hmm. The most important that you should or an investor should understand that which investment instrument best suited to him. So once he has done his risk profile, then he can very easily or better to say comfortable, he can take a call to invest. So I will also elaborate why I am investing on this asset allocation or a risk profiling. So just give you a very simple example. Okay, so as I initially told that there are two types of investor. There is a one investor who will keep whole money into the bank deposit. Okay, for our investment track record historically, primarily in India, we consider that the bank deposit is one of the best and safest saving instrument or investing instrument what we have. But look at the present scenario. Okay, so if somebody is holding 100% savings and investment into a bank deposit, and we assume that the interest rate, present interest rate, which is ranging from 5.25 to 5.5. Okay. And if the investor is into 30% tax bracket, so the net of tax return, post-tax return will be less than 3%. Okay. And if you consider the inflation, so we are actually, instead of earning, we are actually getting a negative 2%. So if inflation is a 5%, getting a post-tax return of a 3%, so we are technically getting a 2% negative return. Okay, so this is a problem if we keep 100% money in a bank deposit versus if aggressive investor, okay, who keeps 100% or a maximum of their money or investments into a equity. And let's assume or go back to the same day of 24th of March, if I'm correct, when there was a major fall and market has touched a bottom of a 26,000 Sensex. Okay, so half of the portfolio or a 45% of the portfolio was eroded. Okay, so if most aggressive investor keeping all his money in an equity, and at that point of a time he needs to have the requirement of some fund, so will be in completely doldrums. That what? So there's a reason why we need to have a complete asset allocation approach in the portfolio. Depending on the risk profile, you need to have a safer saving instrument, investing instrument to the volatile investing instrument. So all this needs to be a part of a portfolio depending on which risk profile you are in. So this is a second point which we need to consider. Third point is very important, and I will say that instead of a risk profile and second assessment, it has to be a first one, which is called a contingency planning. Okay, so first, before making investment, first and foremost should be the contingency planning, that if any unforeseen event happen, whether it's a financial or a personal, how the individual or the his survivor or a survivor are going to live. So contingency planning should be a first, then a risk profile, then asset allocation, and after that a complete review of the portfolio on a periodic basis. So if these four or five things investors keep in mind, we hope that everything should go on well.
You mentioned that contingency fund today is one of the most crucial thing. I think along with contingency fund, also, I think this year has brought out a very important need for health insurance cover.
Yes.
According to you, how crucial would the role for these two things be while investing?
Yes. So it's always better that instead of a contingency fund, so it's a basically, normally it's a very common phenomena, and especially in the last 7 months, that contingency fund is moving with all the advisors, investor. But it's better to say contingency fund. We have to use a word or a term. We sincerely believe in the term, which is called a contingency planning. And contingency planning, it should be further divided into two, three parts. One is a fund. So contingency fund is a subset or a part of a contingency planning. So in ideal case, 6 months of an individual's household expenses, which includes the EMI and the forced saving. So forced saving is like if anybody is paying any insurance premium, so it is considered four savings. So 6 month household savings and four savings should be kept into a bank, savings bank, or a liquid fund. It should be a part. It may increase to a 2, so that if any unforeseen event happens, like a job loss or a salary cut, so that it should not be concerned or should not become very apprehensive or very scary about the situation. So he must have some time, he or she must have a time to go on and for other alternative. So 6 months to 12 months is the just to summarize, is the contingency household expenses, including forced savings and EMIs, should be kept. So this is the point number one. Second is a medical insurance. Okay, Mediclaim, normally terminology is used. We have seen this temperament with many of the investors, okay, where they are say that we don't need any individual or personal medical insurance, but we are already covered with the company. But our view is that that with the company's insurance, medical insurance, individual investors should also have their personal medical. Okay, so these should be, I will just tell you a explanation or reason why I'm saying so. The reason is, let's consider a situation when in a May or a April, okay, there is a job loss of a particular individual from the company. Okay, so since he is no more associated with the company, so the insurance given by the organization is no more active. And in this scenario of pandemic, corona or a COVID pandemic, if any medical emergency erupts, immediately he has to pull out all his savings and investment. So that's the reason very strongly we say, irrespective, you are already covered with the company or organization you are working with, but also take your individual insurance, medical insurance, because normally we have seen that investors or individual keep changing on company. So even there may be sometimes we have observed that in notice period some policies may not cover an individual. So just to complete or fulfill this kind of a requirement, people should have an individual insurance. And even at lower age and when they get older, of lifestyle related diseases, and at that point of a time, if they opt for any insurance, company initially, general insurance company or insurance provided, they exclude or for next 3-4 years. So it's better to have an medical, even your company is giving. Third one is that, okay, term plan is a pure risk cover. Pure risk cover. So if somebody individual has taken the term cover, and if anything happens to the person, so the whole corporate put the nominee. And we have seen whenever we talk to people in general or investors, so there is a people are a bit negligent. Sometimes they are negligent about this life cover. Maybe they are immortals. There is no requirement of term plan or this.
Yeah.
Our point, when we are ready, when we take a motor insurance every year, and assuming that there should not be accident, any mishappen to our vehicle, why we don't take a personal term plan, personal insurance cover? Only the reason is because we take a vehicle insurance, as there is a legal complication. And in case of our personal, there is no legal complication. I strongly suggest that in contingency planning, this is the third important factor which must be a part of this contingency planning. Because if, God forbid, if anything happens to earning member or a senior member of the family, so that is personal and financial both loss. But if there is a medical, it's a life insurance, at least financial loss can be managed. Personal loss cannot be managed in case of a demise of the earning member or any person, but at least the financial loss can be managed. So these are three factors for contingency planning broadly. Otherwise, individuals can have a two, three different more, but broadly just to consider, these are a three factors or a parameter, which should be a part of a minimum parameter, part of a contingency plan.
Definitely. I think this year has definitely taught us to have a plan B in place. And yes, I think a contingency planning fund can definitely be a part of that. We're now at the end of 2020. And, you know, this year started with initially, as you mentioned earlier also, that, you know, we saw a big market crash right in March. But now we've seen, you know, different kind of highs as well as the year is coming to an end. What is your hope for the next year?
Pritika, very honest, there is no clear-cut answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason is everything in future is depends on the for a short period of our time. Because if typically you are looking for outlook for a 2021, so that's the reason. If you look for a outlook of a next 5 years or a 10 year down the line, so mm-hmm. we are bullish on the India economy as per se, and we believe that it will do very well, and all the citizens, they must have a growth. Okay, they will flourish, because if country flourishes simultaneously, all the individuals will flourish. But yeah, for a short period, so in investment, 1 year, 2-3 years, we normally call it a short period. Okay, so next 2021 outlook primarily as of now on one factor, which is common, which is known on all public platform, and most hot topic of our discussion is the efficacy of this vaccine, COVID. Okay, so if this vaccine, whatever are available as of now, or emergency usage is allowed by the respective governments across globe, and this vaccine do well, and fortunately, we also get in India the same vaccine. And so we hope that things will start moving at a very, very rapid pace, that there will be a full-fledged economic activity. Offices may start working on a full strength. Okay. But then traveling will start full-fledged. Schools, like probably school is the last thing which we believe that going to get it opened because of the kids. So if all these things start on a full flesh, so it will have a very positive impact on the economy, because there is a pent up demand. Okay, so all these are not travel, so they will start traveling, they will have a vacation. So if this thing start, so there will be a demand in the hotel, hospitality industry, then aviation. So all these stocks which has battered badly, hit down badly in last 7, 8, 9 months, they start performing very, very well. And this may be a reason that why market has moved from a bottom of 26,000 to the level of 45,000 Sensex. So this is why market also believes. This is the one part why market is moving. And if there is a delay in this vaccine, and God forbid if any negative news happen, so there will be a delay. And then again, since there is a delay in a vaccine usage, so there will be a delay in the revival of the economic activity, and it, for a some more time, it has a negative consequences on of the economy. But there is a one point to add on, because the last two quarters we have seen our GDP growing negative. So because of this negative base impact or a denominator, next year our GDP will show you a very decent positive number. So that will be a good for this. So just to cut short whatever I told you, or just to summarize, still there is some more time, in spite of having a very positive vaccine, still individuals have some doubt. They will be a bit apprehensive for getting vaccinated, as the views is coming across social media or mainstream media. So it will take slight time to come back to the previous pre-COVID level. So we believe that everything, but still, next year will also a bit cautious year for the investment per se.
Definitely. I think as you mentioned very correctly, everyone's hopes are pinned on the vaccine and including the markets. And we'll all just have to wait it out to see how long it takes for everything to recover from this pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us today and giving us such deep insight into this.
Thanks, Pink. Thanks, Pratika. Thank you.
That's all from me this week. I'll be back next week with a new PIN code. Until then, please like, subscribe and share this episode. We're always looking to hear your thoughts and suggestions. We're ever present on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at HD Smartcast. You can also reach out to me directly on Twitter at Pratika Khanna. Thank you so much for joining in. See you next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.